back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Our mission is to bring you great interviews with preppers from around the world so you can be better informed and better prepared for everything from a hurricane to the end of the world as we know it.
KDArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the most affordable body armor period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order, KD offers soft armor and rifle threat rated armor up to level 4. Go to KDArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free tactical scarf for a limited time with any body armor package.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. We talk a lot about food storage on the Prepper Recon Podcast, but just as important is knowing that you have a way to cook the food that you're storing. Sun Oven is a great way to cook with the energy of the sun, and they have a great deal for Prepper Recon podcast listeners. It's $80 off a deluxe package, which includes a turkey roasting rack, especially for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Just go to PrepperRecon.com and click the Sun Oven banner on the right-hand side of the homepage. Today's guest is James Wesley Ross. Jim is a former military intelligence officer, the author of the popular prepper fiction series Patriots, and creator of Survival Blog, which is really a wealth of information. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure. Now, you're back to talk about your new book, Land of Promise, Book 1 of the Counter-Caliphate Chronicles, which just came out yesterday. I have to tell you, I wish it wasn't quite so timely. The tragedies in Paris and Mali are just horrific.
Yes, we are living in very perilous times, and that's one of the things I tried to point out in my novel, is that I expect things to actually get worse when it comes to Islamic terrorism. We, in effect, have kind of built it ourselves. The U.S. government policy, foreign policy, has kind of inspired the development of a lot of Islamic terrorism, and even Islamists that were fairly moderate have gone into the reactionary camp, into the ISIS camp and the Al-Qaeda camp, and it's just a matter of time before they get around to some very large attacks here in the United States.
Yeah, I guess a lot of the folks that couldn't care less about America one way or the other, after a weekend at Abu Ghraib, they quickly became radicalized. Now, after watching the coverage of the aftermath from the Paris attacks, I remembered Ezekiel 23, where God gives the prophet Ezekiel an allegory about two sisters. Samaria is the older and Jerusalem is the younger. Samaria rejected God and was sacked by the Assyrians, which were from the same region in northern Iraq that ISIS now occupies. Jerusalem, the younger sister, didn't learn the lesson from the older sister and instead became more of a harlot than her older sister. If Europe is America's older sister, do you think we will learn from her mistakes of rejecting God and leaving our borders wide open?
I really pray that we do, but unfortunately, we are now living in a nation that has turned its back on God, that's turned its back on Israel, and we, at this point, only deserve God's wrath as a nation. So the best that we can hope for is that God's covenant blessings will be continued to be bestowed upon individuals, on families, church families, and communities. But beyond that, unfortunately, again, I think all we deserve is God's wrath.
And one of the largest factors in the demographic shift in Europe has been the birth rate. Traditional Europeans are having far less children than the 2.1 per couple required to maintain their segment of the population. At the same time, Muslim couples are averaging 6 to 8 children. Do you think America's going to have that same problem?
In the long term, yes. Although in the short term, I'm talking the next generation or even two, I think that our demographically, we're not at any huge risk here in the States, but it's just a matter of time before those numbers really start to add up. And if you look at this on a truly multi-generational scale, in another 200 or 300 years, we could be in huge, huge trouble. There very well could be a demographic shift here in the United States where Christendom is pretty well outnumbered simply through the birth rate. The greater risk in the short term, though, is political vacillation here after the fall of Western Europe to Islam. And I think there very well could be a out-and-out revolution in Western Europe by the 2030s. And at that point, I think that the U.S. government might very well cave in, because if there truly is a global Islamic caliphate forming, that caliphate, because it's going to control Nigeria, it's going to control all of the Middle East, and it's going to control a lot of the Stan countries, like Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan, for example, where there's a lot of natural gas, the Islamic world is going to control the vast majority of the oil and natural gas reserves of the planet. And with that economic clout, they can pretty well call the shots. And I think they will be able to, if not fully implement Sharia law globally, they can at least get the Western powers to kowtow to them. And that's what I portray it in my novel, Land of Promise.
And four out of the six city council members in Hamtramck, Michigan, are now Muslim, making them the first Muslim-controlled city in America. Do you think we're going to see more of that?
Yes. There's cities like Dearborn, Michigan, for example, that are verging on that already. And any area where there's been a large influx of Muslim migrants is probably going to be on track for that within the next 20 or 30 years. But as a nation, we have a long way to go, of course, before we're anywhere close to reaching parity with the Muslim population, thankfully.
And Obama vowed to veto the bill which would screen Syrian refugees. Does that sound sane?
No, it sounds absolutely self-destructive and suicidal. And if you look at the foreign policy of the Obama administration, it has consistently been shifted toward being pro-Muslim. And I think we'll see that continuing all the way through the Obama administration. And God forbid that Hillary Clinton gets elected, because that would probably continue under her administration.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
And the majority of the refugees are military-age men. Typically, wouldn't you expect them to pick a side and take up arms to fight in their own country?
Not if they've been sent to invade a foreign country. I think that's what's really going on here.
So you suspect that many of them are soldiers that already have
Oh, yeah. I think they already have some training. I think they already have their marching orders. And what we're seeing right now is the influx of a large number of sleeper cells. And I think they'll have a lot of different missions planned. And it's just a matter of when they're activated. But there could very well be just plain suicide attacks like we saw in Paris. There could more likely be attacks against the American infrastructure, against the municipal water supplies, natural gas pipelines, power substations, dams, bridges, oil pipelines, you name it. It could all be at risk. And unfortunately, we have a society that's been very free and open for generations, and we really haven't built heavy security around our infrastructures, whether it's communications, the fuel segment, or whatever, that it's all very much at risk, both physically and to cyber attacks. We have system control and data acquisition software, the SCADA software that runs all of our utilities, is very antiquated, and it's all had communications layers added to it. Originally, it was essentially manually controlled. Then it was under local control with local computers. Then they added a layer of communications for dial-up communication with computer networks. And then more recently, they've added a control layer for internet control of all this software. And because it's just been cobbled together over the course of 50 or 60 years, there's enormous gaps in the security of that software. And it's quite vulnerable to a hack attack. And about the only thing we have going for us is the fact that that SCADA software is so piecemeal that it couldn't all be done in just one attack. It would have to be multiple attacks that were planned to either dial in or log in through the internet to this software. But I think that the threat there is enormous, and we will not really appreciate the full extent of that threat until after the attack happens.
Yeah, and Ted Koppel just came out with a book, another Lights Out book, which talks about exactly what we were just talking about. And regardless of what side of the political spectrum he's on, I think it's great anytime we get a high-profile figure that sort of joins the preparedness movement and does what he can to wake other folks up, because every person that's prepared is going to make it that much easier when things do go bad.
Right. Every family that's prepared is going to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. So I think it's really important that you wake up as many of your friends and neighbors and relatives as you can to get them prepared, because each one of those prepared families will mean a couple of things. One is each one of them is one less family that's going to be on your doorstep looking for handouts, because they'll be well prepared themselves. And there'll be one more family that's going to be part of the solution in rebuilding when things do fall apart. And then, because it's only the families that are well prepared that are going to have the time on their hands to be part of the solution. Everyone else is just going to be worried about where they're going to get their next meal.
Right. And back to the soldiers that we're saying are probably largely in a lot of these refugees. Where do you think they're going to get their weapons when it's time to activate? Is the DOJ still running fast and furious type operations?
Who knows? They very well could piecemeal in a lot of weapons via diplomatic pouch. And in fact, that's one of the things that I mention in my novel, Land of Promise, is unfortunately, again, we live in a free and open society, and we have very naively assumed that everyone else is going to play by the same rules that we do. And if you look at the history of Islamic terrorism, they often use diplomatic mail as a means of shipping in weapons, explosives, bomb timers, the whole works. And people don't realize that diplomatic mail is not just, you know, something that comes in a pouch. They've used to refer to it as the diplomatic pouch. Well, it's a lot more than a pouch nowadays. It can be an entire 747 cargo airliner could be a diplomatic shipment.
Wow.
Well, because none of it is subject to inspection because it's considered confidential material. So, say the government of Afghanistan or Pakistan or whoever is building a new embassy in the United States, they can bring in as much furniture as they want from overseas, and they can have as many crates as they want marked furniture, and it's all under diplomatic cover where it's not subject to inspection. In fact, it would cause an international incident if somebody in the Customs Department insisted on an inspection. They can't, by law, inspect any of this. So unless a crate were to break open and, you know, a whole bunch of hand grenades were to go rolling out of the crate, there's basically no circumstance under which any of those shipments could be stopped. And I think that the diplomatic pouch is probably going to be one of the main methods that these sleeper cells are going to have for equipping themselves.
My wife and I watched the latest episode of Frontline last week. It was called ISIS in Afghanistan, and it had footage of children as young as 6 and 7 being trained to shoot AKs, shoot pistols, and throw hand grenades. Meanwhile, a 9th grade teacher in Salem, Utah, had students making ISIS recruitment posters. Even after the attacks in Paris and Mali, is there a lack of understanding of the real threat by Americans?
I think Americans are incredibly naive. And they, again, we live in a free and open society where we think the best of people. And our basic preconception is that other people in other countries are a lot like us, and that they are bound by the same moral code that we are, and our basic way of operating and interacting with each other. And that's why we're so taken aback when these Islamic cultures carry out things like beheadings or crucifixions or just gruesome murders and honor killings of, say, a young woman is raped. If her attacker isn't found and confesses, or unless two adult male witnesses can step forward to say that she truly was raped, then it's assumed that she is a harlot and that she should be stoned to death. That's the kind of culture we're dealing with here. And if you're looking at ISIS, what they want to set the world back to is essentially the 6th century AD. That's their idea of what the legal system should be like. 6th century AD Islamic law. It's a frightening prospect, and unfortunately that's exactly what we're up against, and the American people basically have no clue. And nor did the Europeans. They just got a rude wake-up call with Paris. You know, up until a month before Paris, you had German schoolgirls greeting trainloads of these military-age male Muslim refugees with signs that said, "We love you, refugees. Thank you for coming." That's how naive the European people were, and unfortunately, here in the States, we're just about as naive.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. That's the end of the first half of my interview with James Wesley Rawls. Tune in next week for the rest of the show. God bless and happy prepping.
In the days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, a global empire arises like a phoenix from the ashes of the world that was. The emerging order is unified by a new global currency and a single world religion, which are mandated by an imposed UN treaty. In the interest of unity and peace, a zero-tolerance policy for dissenters is enacted and strictly enforced. Hunted down like common criminals for daring to resist the state, Noah Parker's group will have to rely on faith and wits to endure the powers of darkness, which are quickly consuming the earth. Buy your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 3, Perdition, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.